Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the IIFL Finance Limited Q1 FY27 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference call over to the management for the opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you.
Good evening, everyone. I welcome you all in the IIFL Finance investor conference presentation call. My name is Vikas Jain, CFO, IIFL Finance. We have today Mr. Nirmal Jain, MD CEO, IIFL Finance, Mr. Girish, who is CEO of IIFL Home Finance, and Mr. Venkatesan, who is the CEO of IIFL Samasta Microfinance. Now, I will hand over to Mr. Nirmal Jain for macro and strategic overview for the quarter.
Thank you, Vikas. Good evening, everyone, and thank you for joining us today. So, on the macro backdrop, the West Asia situation has reignited over the last 2 weeks after the June ceasefire framework, keeping crude and shipping volatile. RBI held the repo rate at 5.25% in June with a neutral stance, but it trimmed FY27 growth outlook to 6.6% and nudging inflation up to 5.1% on account of geopolitical and external pressures. However, domestic credit demand, particularly in retail and MSME, has remained structurally resilient regardless. Coming to our main core business, gold prices, despite corrections, have been elevated through this period of uncertainty. And while that has supported our growth, and which has been tonnage-led growth as well, but we are equally mindful that a sharp correction is a real tail risk in this environment, and we are therefore consciously focused on maintaining loan-to-value discipline and collection. Turning to performance, so in the quarter, our return on equity annualized is close to 20%, 19.5%. Return on asset is 3.1%. And on a book that is nearly 90% secured, our AUM has crossed 1.15 lakh crores, is up 38% on a year-on-year basis. Our gold loan has remained our primary engine, but as I said, we are managing growth deliberately. Our home finance and microfinance businesses typically have a first quarter comparatively slower, but both these businesses are structurally on track, and we expect the trajectory to strengthen through the rest of the year. Our co-lending continues to scale, a bit slower than our plans in the first quarter, but now with 15 active bank partners, we expect it to gather momentum. Also, our AI-led operating model is moving from pilot to measurable impact across collection, fraud detection, frontline of productivity, and so on. Also, the board has approved an enabling resolution for fresh equity, which is subject to shareholders' approval in the day after tomorrow's AGM, which will give us flexibility to raise capital during the year as and when needed. So, in summary, this was a quarter where our profitability and operations are back to their natural levels. And from here on, we expect organic growth to continue and also AI and operating leverage to support the profitability acceleration in the near future. With this, I'll hand over to Vikas for the detailed numbers. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. To start with the financial numbers for the quarter, IIFL Finance profit after tax before non-controlling interest was 713 crore and up by 14% on quarter-on-quarter basis. We recorded pre-provision operating profit of rupees 2,252 crore, up by 50% YOY basis and 7% on a quarter-on-quarter basis. For the quarter, consolidated loan AUM grew by healthy 38% YOY and was up 7% on quarter-on-quarter basis at 115,523 crore, driven by gold loans close to around 58,406 crore. Further dissecting the AUM, our core product loan AUM comprising home loan, gold loans, MSME loans, and microfinance up by 43% YOY and was up 8% quarter-on-quarter basis to 111,717 crore. This segment now comprises 96.7% of our overall AUM mix. On the asset quality side, our gross NPA stood at 1.6% and net NPA stood at 0.8%, both which are stable and slightly up by 9 basis points from the quarter-on-quarter basis. The company maintains a cautious stance on unsecured MSME and MFI segment focused on recovery and collections. Happy to inform that provision coverage ratios on NPA stands at 94%. The assigned loan book stands at 26,118 crore, up by 73% on YOY basis and up by 10% on quarter-on-quarter basis. Besides this, there are co-lending assets of ₹14,647 crore, which is up by 27% and 2% on quarter-on-quarter basis. Quarterly average cost of borrowing has decreased by 3 basis points on a quarter-on-quarter to 9.13 and 33 basis points on a YOY basis. A brief update on liquidity. During the quarter, we have raised 17,183 crore through term loans, bonds, commercial paper, and 5,283 crore was raised through direct assignment on loans. Our cash and cash equivalent and committed credit lines from the banks and institutions is 7,148 crores are adequate to meet not only the near-term liabilities but also to fund our growth momentum. We have a positive ALM whereby inflows covers or exceeds our expected outflow across all buckets and net gearing is at 4.0x. Our ROE for the quarter stood at 19.5% and while ROA stood at 3.1%. Basic earnings per share for the quarter is 15.9 per share. As of June 26, our capital adequacy ratio for NBFC is 17.1, HFC 14.7 and for Samasta is 24.9%, which is well above minimum threshold of around 15% reflective of our successful off-book model which we are implemented. Also in the quarter, Moody's rating has assigned us BA3 issuer rating and PBA3 GMTN program rating to the IIFL Finance outlook stable. We have raised $500 million through social bond issuances proceeds which are directed to income generating loans for women, low income and rural semi-urban borrowers. CRISIL ESG rating has assigned an ESG rating of CRISIL ESG 66 and core ESG rating of CRISIL core ESG 69 to the company. With this, I come to an end and now we are open for Q&A. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. We will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and then one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Again, to register, please press star and one. Your first question comes from the line of Pawan Kumar with Edelweiss Public Alts. Please go ahead.
So thank you for the opportunity and congratulations on really good set of numbers. Two questions. At the current rate of growth, when will you be required to go for equity raise considering CET1 is already at 12.24 in the standalone entity? Because the gold loans, I understand the risk rates are 125% and no, you have alluded to reduction in the gold loan growth rate. But, even then we are very close to the regulatory minimum. So that's one question. Second question, in the IIFL home finance entity, can you give us the disbursement separately for home finance and the LAP? And do you think that, from the Q1 is the bottom for the disbursements and the AUM growth? Going forward, the housing finance growth and their LAP growth will pick up. What is the kind of expectation there for FY27? Yeah, thank you, sir.
Thanks, Pawan. So, gold loan industry growth has slowed down in this quarter, but we are still growing maybe faster than industry. That's what I would. I won't have the data, but that's what I think so. And then about capital, I think we need to fix the capital adequacy issue in the parent company. And So, this is something, that's why we are taking shareholders' approval on, in this meeting, which is the after tomorrow. Now, we have multiple options, basically we can raise QIP or we can sell, do a secondary sale of subsidiary companies We are also looking at a strategic, divestment partly or this thing of microfinance, so we can raise equity through subsidiary companies. Also, co-lending is gathering momentum now. So that will also ease the pressure this quarter. And we can raise subordinate debt and perpetual debt also, which we had raised quarter before. That will also help us. So we are very conscious of the capital adequacy, which in the parent company is kind of at the edge. And we are like, we want to fix it. So all these options are open, and we want to keep all the options open so that, at appropriate time. So once we have shareholders' approval is valid for full year, so at appropriate time, we can, make sure that the capital adequacy for this business is properly maintained. And about home finance, Girish will give you the disbursement data. I think there's strong pickup in the disbursement, but let Girish give you the data.
Before Girish sir gives, there's just one clarification. Because, share sale, I mean, stake sale in the subsidiaries takes time, right? The due diligence, everything will take some time. And even if you raise tier 2 debt, again, 82 debt, that will be tier 2, right? It won't be counted towards tier 1. And the way...
So perpetual is counted towards tier 1 subject to certain, numbers. So the perpetual debt is counted as tier 1 up to 50% of the equity. And okay. I think, maybe there's some such restriction on the total quantum, but it is counted as tier 1 and subordinate is counted as tier 2. And we have been working on this. I'm not saying that will happen tomorrow, but it can happen very quickly.
Got it. So your preference is towards not raising that equity in the immediate term, but
we can raise equity also. We are open. It all depends on the valuations in the market. We don't want to be in a desperate situation, so we are trying to work on everything, including co-lending, perpetual and subordinate debt in this quarter. But yes, something which is equity, we are open to raising equity also. It's not that we don't want to raise, but we want to raise at some reasonable valuations,
Got it, sir. Thank you.
Under home loans, we had a very good quarter one. So if you look at last few quarters, I think we registered the highest disbursement growth. So sequentially, we have grown disbursement by 39%. And this is high compared to last few quarters. And even we could see good growth on the AUM, which is 4% sequential, and book growth is 7%. So this trend will continue. Generally, in housing loan industry, quarter one is soft. And from quarter two, it picks up. So we expect that this momentum to continue, and we will be able to further improve upon it. And not just this, we have also improved our onboarding yield. So in last two quarters, we have increased about 68 to 70 bits on the overall book. This is the incremental book.
So the 39% growth is between home loan and LAP together, right? In MSA, in IFL Home Finance.
Yes, this is overall sequential growth in disbursement by 39%.
Yeah. Yeah, both put together. Home loan is about 80% of the portfolio, and LAP is about 18% or 18-19% kind of thing.
So can we say that this quarter, going forward, the growth will be much faster? Particularly home loans, which has grown only 3% quarter on quarter.
So this is sequential. So if you look at the overall year, we are looking at growth of about 17 to 18% on book and area. Disbursement growth will be over 30%.
Got it, sir. Is that the kind of growth estimate for the full year also, 17 to 18% for the?
This for the full year.
This is for the full year.
Full year, the book growth.
No. I mean for FY 2027. For the full year.
Yes. FY 2027. Yes.
Okay. Sure, sir. Thank you so much. I'll come back in the queue.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Chirag Singhal with First Water Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity and congrats on good set of numbers. So my first question is on the targets that you have given in slide 20. So in FY27, the credit cost is expected to be 1.5 to 1.7, which is sharply dropping in the next 2 years. So which segment do you see will be contributing to the higher credit cost in the current year? Because microfinance, as I can see in Q1, a lot of I mean, it's turned in favor of the industry, and even the gold loans and all are not witnessing any higher provisioning. So just trying to understand the higher credit cost for this year and what will lead to a steep decline in the next 2 years.
So this year in our housing finance, because there is a small portfolio of micro LAP, you know, that is there. So if you really look at our housing finance GNPA, they are much higher than the peers, and that is what will be fixed in the next 2 years.
So what is the outstanding micro LAP book as of Q1 end?
So the outstanding of micro LAP is about 440 crores.
440 crores?
440 crores.
And the other any other DLC?
So VLC is about 260.
So this is a problem book.
Okay.
It's not significant, but it is just a residual, so it will have, you know, clean up in this year.
Got it. Second question is on the, you know, the, just continuing the previous participant's point on the fundraise. So you are, you know, looking at stake sale in microfinance subsidiary. So, like, what is the multiple that you would be looking at, bare minimum, if you want to, you know, exit Samasta? And would it be like a partial stake sale, or you are planning to exit microfinance completely?
No, we can do partial stake sale also. Now the business has recovered this year. But it's very difficult to give any guidance on this, because these are all, you know, it depends on the negotiation deals and this. So the environment has improved now, and therefore it may be a time to raise the capital there. Also, you know, in our parent company, the subsidiaries are valued at cost. So that basically is a disadvantage when we compute the capital adequacy for the parent. So even if we demerge, then also the capital adequacy gets released. So we are looking at various options, but you know, as I said in the previous question, that we are very conscious of this, and we want to, you know, we want to make sure that this is addressed properly.
Yeah, because diluting at the current valuation would be your last option that you would be looking at, right? Because at the current
valuation, I think we can still, you know, with the marginal, we can still continue for a quarter or two more with the co-lending picking up, and, you know, perpetual and subordinate, our capital adequacy will be better as we go along. You know, so we are not, as I said, that what you are saying is right, but we need to look at the multiple options and, you know, take one.
Understood. One more question on this project piece. So you have given some data points on slide number 19. So, you know, the ranges are very wide. So loss prevention, you are saying 10 to 40%, operating cost 8 to 20%. So any specific reason why such a wide range? And also on the OPEX to AUM, if you can give a guidance, how we should look at it going forward?
So, okay, first your wide, this AI is a new animal. And, you know, I think we are not a human organization, we'll assume, I'm going to do it slowly. And this is something which will be achieved over a period of time. So if you say, you know, the cost reduction over 3 years, then I'm very optimistic that it might be on the higher side. But in the first year, you know, it will be on the lower side. And as I said, that this is completely, you know, everybody is sort of talking about it, doing it. In my opinion, more or less everybody will get the AI right. I mean, just like mobile or any other technology, few months here and there, everybody will adopt it. You know, I think, you know, we are also looking at it as a completely new thing, and that is why the range is wide. This is not a tested technology. This is not something that you have precedence or a model, and you can say, this is what I'll achieve.
Okay. And on the OPEX to AUM, like, what is your...
Yeah, OPEX to AUM, I think we are down to 3.4. So, I mean, from here, there can be a marginal decline, because we are also setting up new branches. Last year, we did not set up any new branch. So, I mean, I think 3.4, 3.3, or, you know, this is the range that you should look at. And with AI benefit, which is, again, a black box, you know, we'll see over the next 2-3 years that probably we can contain it further.
The 3.3, 3.4, are you considering any benefits from this, what you have mentioned about project base?
Yes.
Are
See,
you
what is happening?
factoring in any benefit? Yeah.
If you really look at our fixed cost in this quarter and last quarter, despite growth in the business has grown by 2% or something like this. Obviously you see that the AI benefit has already started to kick in. It's very difficult to estimate. What I can tell you is that the operating cost over next 2 to 3 years, you'll see a downward trajectory, which is combined impact of AI and also as our scale goes up. We are, our branch-led model with 4,500 or 5,000 branches, we are a very heavy fixed cost model because the branches costs are fixed, the employees are fixed salaries. If the scale goes up, then the operating leverage benefits us a lot.
Got it.
I'm also trying to factor in the expansion that we are going to do because as I said, this year we want to set up 500 new branches. That will to some extent mitigate the benefit of operating leverage.
Understood. Yeah, that would be it from my end. Thanks and best luck.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Gaurav Khandelwal with J.P. Morgan. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good evening. Thanks for taking my questions. I've got a couple of those. First, on asset quality, can I understand what's driving the higher gross NPAs both in home and gold loan segments quarter-on-quarter? Is there anything systemic that we need to worry about?
I think gold one should not worry about because these are customers that generally don't default and their jewelries have emotional value, so you have to be a little careful and give them some more time. In housing also, as I said, that we are mending it structurally. You may, as we go along, you will see that coming down, significantly. Compared to, say, last year, we are significantly down. Now that we are pivoting towards a secured portfolio, then you see our credit costs and losses will become minimal.
Got it. If I can just follow up, so in case of your housing loans, on an average, whenever we see a default and an actual loss, what's the LGD on a blended basis for the housing book?
If we take on the entire book, LGD will be anywhere between 33%-34%, and our coverage will be accordingly done.
Got it. Okay. My second question on your longer-term strategy, and I'm sorry if you've already answered this, but your guidance of effectively increasing ROA by 50-odd basis points, a lot of that appears to be coming from credit costs. Outside of credit costs, are there any areas you think which can also help in terms of getting to the higher ROA in operating leverage or margins or otherwise? Also, I just wanted to understand what's the outlook for margins over the next two, three quarters. Have your cost of funding worries come down, especially after the spike in yields in initial part of the quarter? Those are my two questions. Thanks.
ROA, I think 40, 50 basis points post-tax will be like 60, 70 basis points pre-tax, which is coming more 40, 50 basis from credit cost, 20, 30 basis points from maybe rest of the things which can be operating cost as well as the NIM improvement. Now, in terms of credit, the cost of borrowing, cost of funds, I think the general industry is of the view that with FCNR liquidity will ease in the system and we should be able to borrow at a lower rate. In the last couple of quarters, we have paid slightly higher rate and also our dollar bond has been at a higher cost. Margins are stable in the gold loan despite competition. We focus on a very small segment, which is the customers which are the ticket size is small. There, I personally don't think any pressure on margin because the rate at which we lend, given our scale, we afford. Otherwise for small ticket loan, that's a very fair rate. We expect margin to be stable. Margins will remain in this range and benefit will come from operating cost and also credit cost. Other income cross-sell with AI, we are just trying to, we should achieve some benefit there also.
Got it. In fact, in this quarter, the gold loan yields are up slightly. Have you increased pricing for any particular gold product or what is driving this almost
no, so,
40, 50 basis points increase?
So it's a portfolio yield. And when we started after embargo, so initially the yield was lower, but as you know, we have been talking about in earlier analyst call also. So we have picked up, as quarter after quarter, you see the the advantage coming in. So it's ma and as I said, that because we are focusing on small ticket loan, we are able to maintain our yield. The portfolio, typically, see, the loans are for 6 to 12 or 24 months actually. So and as the new loans are at a higher rate, you see yield improving.
Okay, got it. Thank you. Those were all my questions. Appreciate this.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Abhijit Tibrewal with Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, everyone, and thank you for taking my questions. Congratulations on a good quarter. Sir, first on gold loans, just trying to understand, with so many other larger, bigger NBFCs now pouring into gold loans in the last one or two quarters, have you heard anything from the ground in terms of they being aggressive or higher competitive intensity, or this is still just a narrative right now? Basically, what I'm trying to understand is while in housing finance, Girish said earlier that we have managed to take yield highs about 60-70 basis points on the incremental loans that we are doing. Is that something similar we are able to do on gold loans as well?
So, okay, there are two different products. In housing, what is happening is that there's a mix. And earlier, we had this Micro LAP, which had a higher yield of almost 18-24%. So that portfolio is declining. So if you see that, although Girish talked about boarding yield going up, the portfolio yield has come down in housing finance because that high yield portfolio is running off. In gold, I mean, there's one product. And here, while the competition is there, I mean, I'm not denying that there's competition is, and competition can be aggressive in two ways. One is they can drop the yield, and two is they can increase the LTV. And we are seeing some of the new players getting aggressive in both ways. But there's a huge market, and we have a customer franchise, so we really aren't chasing cutthroat competition or a growth because we have our customers, our branches, and we are maintaining that relationship as well as our business. So and also there's a learning curve. So many competitors, there are a set of new branches. You need to get the system, security, people, training, everything right. And that's a process. And it's a massive market. So it's a very large market. Still, part of the market is the unorganized sector. Banks have a very large market. Many two, three large public sector banks have more than 3 lakh crore rupees of portfolio. So I think the market is there. And also, now that unsecured lending has become difficult, more and more customers are veering towards lending or borrowing against gold.
Got it, sir. So then the second question I had was about a lot of these management changes that we've seen in the last 1 year. I think we had a change in our CFO. I think today we have said that our business head, unsecured lending, is moving to another role within the company. Girish himself has come on board for us. So, I mean,
unsecured lending, so we have. Okay. So let me explain. Unsecured lending, we discontinued. So obviously, that role has to be redeployed somewhere. CFO is still there, is handling strategy, but there are personal health issues, so that is a different question. But other than that, if you really look at our tier two management or even tier one, many of them have been there for 15, 20, and 30 years. So if you look at our gold loan head, he has been here in the company now almost for maybe 30 years, so almost 25, 30 years. So there are many old people, and there's the strength of the company. But some changes will happen in a company as large as this.
Got it. And sir, are we looking to introduce any new products in the standalone entity now, while gold will remain the core product? Any newer products that you're looking to introduce or any other?
I think the LAP is a LAP or secured MSME is another product which will be there in our listed company. A very small product, loan against shares, continue. But other than that, we don't have any plans to introduce any new products.
Got it. And lastly, sir, one clarification. When we said that we have discontinued unsecured lending, we'll stop doing unsecured business loans as well.
Yeah, that is what, yeah, absolutely right. Unsecured business loan, personal loan, both we are discontinued.
Got it. And lastly, Girish sir, just trying to understand while you laid out that you're looking at about a 30% disbursement growth, 17 to 18% loan growth this year, and the fact that what Nirmal sir explained that disbursement yields are higher, but given that Micro LAP used to be a higher yielding product and that is running off and we're not doing that product anymore, how are you thinking about kind of improving the ROA trajectory over the next couple of years?
So, yeah, actually, we talked about, I spoke about, you know, what is going to be the plan for this year in terms of book growth, AUM growth, and disbursement. I think the trend will continue for next few years because we see a lot of potential. In spite of quarter one being soft, we've done pretty well on all the three fronts. Yeah, to a certain extent, probably last year was soft. But even if I compare with quarter four sequentially, we've done a good lift on disbursement, book, and AUM. So if I continue with this, maybe in next 3 years' time, so we are looking at ROE of about mid-teens. So I think that's the plan. We are focused on that. Now we are pivoting more towards affordable and the balance we are also into emerging. We have completely cut down on prime, which means low margin business. So every year if you take, if you look at any company's portfolio, I think the year's disbursement will account to 18 to 20% of the entire book, right? So in next 2 to 3 years time, which means 50 to 60% of the entire book color will change, and that should lead to profitable growth, and it will also give us good return ratios.
So Girish, like in terms of trajectory, probably what they are trying to understand is that how the acceleration will happen. But based on, I think, our plans, I mean, quarter after quarter, we should see profitability improving faster than the loan growth.
Got it, sir. That answers all my questions, sir. Thank you so much, and I wish you and your team the very best.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Prithvi Raj Patil with Investec. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. So I just had the first question on the income tax note that there, the footnote that's there in the financial statements. If you just elaborate on the 470 crore impact that's there.
There is nothing, which is what we discussed last time. So there is no new development on that. So there is a demand of 475 crores which against which we have filed an appeal with CIT. And you know, the process of income tax is that first you file appeal with CIT, then you can go to tribunal, and then you can go to High Court and Supreme Court. So there is no new development there.
Okay, thank you. And also for the SRs, I see that the standalone entity, the SRs are the same quarter on quarter. And if you could just elaborate on the SR position for the subsidiaries as well, that could be.
So SRs, basically, the redemptions will happen in a lumpy way. But as we had guided last time, that in 12 to 18 months, probably more or less all the SRs will be fully redeemed. And, you know, as I said last time also that, you know, we believe that we'll realize more than what the book value is. And actually last quarter there was not much movement, but in the rest of the year, and so I think by September 27, more or less, you know, this book will be completely wound up.
Well, thank you. Thanks very much.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Love Sharma with Point 72. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking the question. If you could just highlight what was the credit cost for FY26 and this quarter, that would be useful. And secondly, on the credit ratings on the international market, given that you have been very active, any indication of what your engagement has been with the agencies, given you are on positive outlook from two of them? And I know you recently got a higher rating from Moody's, but just from the other two, where do we stand in terms of your communication and your discussion? Thank you.
Thanks, Rao. So Moody's has upgraded our rating, which is one notch above Fitch and S&P. Fitch has been actively engaged, and immediately after the results, they will take it to the committee. We are very optimistic that even Fitch ratings will get upgraded. And also we'll engage with other agencies, other international agencies as well as local. Our credit cost for the first quarter is how? 1.6%.
Okay, understand. For the entire FY26?
Okay, when we say credit cost, is based on the average loan book.
Okay.
And I think we have guided similar number around 1.5-1.7.
Okay, understood.
You know, going forward, gold loan reported GNPA can be slightly higher as the book grows and the prices are volatile. But you know, we always have enough cushion. So, if the gold prices have fallen, then we don't press the button, trigger and just auction everything, depending on the margin that we have. So, you know, in terms of reported number can vary. But the loss given default in gold in the last 15-16 years has almost been zero.
Okay, understood. And just on your borrowing cost, I know there's a slight uptick in the cost of funds for this quarter, given I think probably you have raised more in the international market, but just generally, where do you see the trend for the next quarter?
So we raised $500 million by dollar bond, which is, you know, with the fully hedged, cost is slightly higher. But this is international market which we should diversify and we should tap. You know, company like Shriram has done a wonderful job by being consistent in this market, and over a period of time the cost comes down. So that has basically been one of the reasons for increase in our weighted average cost. But as I said, that the expectation is that after this FCNR, liquidity will improve domestically and we should see the cost coming down.
Okay, understand. Thank you so much. That's it from me.
Thank you. Your next question comes from the line of Rajiv Pathak with GC Holdings. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good evening, everyone. And congratulations on a very good set of numbers. Few questions. First, on our gold loan business. So we have done a fantastic 21% QOQ growth there. If you can just touch upon how much of this growth would be tonnage-led and how much would be value-led. So if you can share that number. Secondly, if you look at the LTV, I think from March we were at 63%. Right now we are going to an LTV of 70%. Is there a headroom for us to now increase the LTV, or now the growth will primarily be volume-driven growth going forward for the next couple of quarters? That is on the gold loan part. On the asset quality, maybe we'll take it up later.
So, Rajiv, I think our gold loan growth has not been 21, but 11% quarter over quarter.
Hello.
Yeah, then 11% quarter.
Yeah, sorry, 11% quarter on quarter. Yeah,
250. And you know, the 5-6% has been the tonnage growth. The gold prices had corrected in February, and not in this quarter. So I think we are maintaining a healthy cushion there.
Okay. So, and on the asset quality in the gold loans. So if you were to look at the 1-30 DPD and the breakups that you generally give, we have seen an increase as compared to Q4. So basically the gold loan portfolio and the MSME, both secured and unsecured, have seen an increase in the 1-30 and the 30-90 DPD buckets.
So gold loan, I think this question I had answered earlier also. The customers basically, because we don't have any penalty or any penal charges in case customers pay before 90 days, and normally these are the small amounts that customers, our branches collect on a monthly basis. So typically they know that just before 90 days they have to collect it fully. In some small stay cases there can be some delay. And therefore 0-30 and 30-60 can be higher. But mostly these are small traders, shopkeepers, businessmen, mom and pop shops, so you generally collect before 90 days.
Okay.
So I won't be worried about slight increase in the DPD in the gold loan.
Okay.
But, I mean, and which is also not very significant if you compare number quarter on quarter. It's very marginal.
Yeah. Yeah, in terms of absolute amount, it will not be. But so basically, if you were to take a point, that means you are saying that while the gold prices may be volatile, maybe even downward going over the next two quarters, for example, your buckets may move in between 30, 60, but your 90 DPD, you don't think that will go up, right?
Yeah. And even if that goes up a little bit, few basis points, the losses will not be there. Ultimately, it comes back.
Okay, sure. And sir, on the MSME part, both secured and unsecured?
So MSME unsecured is a discontinued business. So there, I think we are recovering whatever the balance portfolio. So okay. The denominator keeps shrinking, so you might see some increase. In case of MSME secured, again, I think it's a very marginal movement. There's hardly any 2 basis point movement.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And sir, on the microfinance portfolio, so we have seen a growth coming this quarter also. So would you see a same quarter-on-quarter AUM growth trend now going forward and even at for the profitability and ROA in this business improving quarter-by-quarter going forward?
Yeah, microfinance industry has picked up. So there's about 3-4% growth quarter-on-quarter. Within that also, the microfinance is also diversifying more into retail and the secured other loans, which is dedicated and other products that we do. But microfinance industry... Okay, it will not grow at 30, 40, 50, 60% what it grew in 24. But steady 4%, 3-4% growth per quarter will happen.
Okay, and what is the ROA, ROE target that you would have here?
ROA target for?
Microfinance, Samasta.
I think it will be around 2.5 to 3%. Is Venkatesh there online?
Yeah, Nirmal. We'll hit around 2.5 to 3%.
2.5 to 3%. So 2.4 will go to 2.5-3% kind of a range by the end of the year.
Yeah.
Yeah, closer to 3% than that.
Okay. Thank you very much and wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Your next question comes from the line of Shripal Doshi with Equirus. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for giving me the opportunity. My question is pertaining to the gold finance book. So in this quarter, we've seen the new RBI framework being implemented for the lenders. So what sort of challenges or development that we've done, that we've seen during the quarter while doing the business, as well as have we made any changes in terms of tenure, in terms of, let's say, product launches within the gold loan portfolio, or we are still continuing with the vanilla gold loan product that we had?
So income assessment has become mandatory. So, okay, you can define the loan as consumption or income generating loan. In consumption loan, you cannot go beyond 75% LTV. And in income generating loan, you can go beyond 75% LTV, but you have to make sure that, do the assessment of cash flows and income. So we are working with this. We have a good technology driven system to do that for small businesses that borrow from us. So in a way, I think these developments are healthy from a long-term point of view. And our systems are fully tuned to that.
So to just follow up on that, so we have launched an income-generating gold loan product as well, you mean to say?
We have income-generating gold loan product also, and we take Udyam certificate and business proof for that also, yes.
Got it. And sir, with respect to the new framework, like as you also put up, like you have launched this product as well. But at ground level, did we change anything on the tenure side? Because implementing the consumption loan product, implementing the newer LTV norms, could actually lead to lower disbursements for the customers. So have we tweaked anything on the tenure side during the quarter?
Not very much. So we always have a tenure of 2 years available for customers, so that continues.
Okay. Got it, sir. Thank you so much for answering my question. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Varun Gajaria with Omkara Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. And thank you for taking my question. Congratulations on a good set. I just wanted to understand on the previous question that one of the participants asked, If you could just walk us through the 30 plus slippages, and if there's any part that you're concerned about. I'm sorry if you already answered this.
So 30 plus slippages in which product you are saying?
Overall, in the asset quality metrics that you've mentioned, right? 1 to 30 and 30 plus.
If you look at our slide 12, that gives you the numbers for every product on 30 plus, 60 plus, and beyond.
Yeah, no, I'm aware of the metrics. What I'm trying to get at is. There's a sharp increase in those metrics, especially in gold. So, if there's anything concerning about it.
No, gold loan, I think the 30 plus is how much now? 3.9%.
4.5.
30 plus is 3.8. As I said, it's a very marginal increase, first. And secondly, gold loan... if sometimes some customers don't pay on time, then we, based on our margin, we hold back. We just don't auction or don't. But this is not something which is not manageable. This is more or less, if you see historically, the numbers have been in this range.
Okay. So this is sort of seasonal and nothing that you're worried about, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Your next follow-up question comes from Pawan Kumar with Edelweiss Public Alts. Please go ahead. Mr. Kumar,
Hello.
Your line is unmuted. Please proceed with your question. Yes.
Hi, thank you. In continuation of Sripal's question from earlier, right, a couple of gold loan companies mentioned they are looking to structure gold loans as interest paying instead of bullet loans. Have you made any such change? On the interest side, that's one. And the second thing, on the standalone entity, right, the assignment quantum actually increased year on year from 4,200 crores to 4,800 crores, which is the Q1 number. But the assignment income has come down from 173 crore to 43 crore. Any reason for that? And lastly, earlier you used to give data book. Have you stopped it? It used to be quite useful.
The data book is there. It's uploaded already on our website. So I think there is a link in the presentation that you should add. You uploaded it separately. Maybe data book is already there on our website.
Okay, so I missed it. Thank you.
I think the link which was there in the last slide is not there, but I will just make sure that it's there. So that is about the data book. And your other question was...
On the interest, instead of being bullet loans, are you looking at...
Yeah, so we always have that product. So, see, in gold loans, when a customer walks in, you can have a monthly interest payment, quarterly interest payment, 6 monthly or a bullet, and the interest rates differ. So if you say choose monthly interest, then your interest rate is lower. Because we also know that the customer is a regularly income generating and is a good customer. So we always had these products, so there's nothing new we need to introduce.
Is there any traction for that particular product, particularly monitoring income generating loans is quite difficult compared, right?
So,
at a brand, please.
Maybe, I think too early because the entire income generating and these things have started in this quarter. So we'll see the trend now. But as of now, I don't have much variance or something which is significant.
Got it, sir. And the assignment income going down from 170 crores.
Assignment income, just 1 second. So, hello. So, assignment income of housing finance has gone down because the assignments are smaller, but standalone has gone up. The assignment income in home loan because of 15-year product or even 7-8-year behavioral will be much more, significantly more.
No, sir, I'm referring to standalone entity. The 173 crores to 43 crores net gain on derecognition.
Oh, yeah. I think you're talking about the standalone, this thing.
Yeah, correct. And also you have given
the now that core SP has picked up, but our assignment was also higher. Sometimes what happens, assignment, they happen towards the end of the quarter, then you can just take for a limited this thing, but I really need to get you just give me 1 minute.
Sure, sir.
Yeah, I think, so what has happened, the incremental deals in quarter are lesser now because co-lending has picked up. Although the portfolio might have gone up, but this happens based on the transactions done during the quarter. So that is why you see lower assignment income in standalone.
But sir, you disclose that like the assignment amount of loans assigned are 4,800 crores this quarter.
So the upfront income is based on the transactions done during the quarter.
Correct, correct. During the quarter.
So the transactions done during the quarter are fewer as compared to the previous year, same quarter.
The quantum is lower,
sorry?
Please go ahead, sir. Please go
ahead. Yeah, so you are saying 4,200? These are the portfolios. No, last year, I think 4,600 what you are referring to. Is it the transactions done during the quarter?
No, sir.
That's a portfolio. That's the
catch. It is 4,200 crores was the last year amount assignment done. This year you have done 4,800 crores. So there is a 600 crore higher assignment done this year versus last year. But the assignment
in the first quarter itself, you are saying?
Correct, sir.
Maybe I'll have to look into this and get back to you.
Okay, sure. Sir. Thank you.
We'll just find out the analyze this and get back to you, Paul.
Thank you so much, sir, and congratulations.
But going forward, at least standalone, we will see that this income comes down as the co-lending picks up. And, you know, this entire fronting will become almost negligible, you know, in the next few quarters.
Got it, sir. Thank you so much for that. That's it from me.
Thank you. The next follow-up question comes from Abhijit Tibrewal with Motilal Oswal. Please.
Yeah, thank you for allowing me a follow-up. No, sir, this thing, the new gold loan guidelines that got implemented from April, and what you mentioned, consumption loan and income generation loans. So on the co-lending arrangements that we have with banks, are banks ready with their assessment or the way they want to underwrite these income generation gold loans?
So, all banks have different policies. Some banks are more conservative and they have a lower threshold than RBI's maximum allowed. And every bank has a different requirement. But I answered earlier that we are fully aligned with the new framework, which is income generating, assessing the income and tracking them. I mean, that has not impacted our business much. And in a way, we think that's a positive development. Because, see, there's a discipline in the type of loan that you're doing for consumption or for business. And for consumption, you'll be more conservative. For business, you can be a little more liberal based on the income and the prospects of the cash flows of the business.
Got it. And for this, banks need to be ready, right, in terms of how they want to assess this income generation loans. Is that the right understanding?
No. The banks basically work along with us. So we have the similar, so we, it's like a joint lending. So we work with bank in terms of what kind of income proof. And actually most of the banks that we work with, they are very happy with our process. We do a CIBIL pull and then we also look at the digital data and then based on the, what we talk to customers, we estimate the income. So banks have to, when you do co-lending, banks have to accept your process and they, that should meet their, you know, standards also. And then only you can start off. So we talk to them, we engage with them and we work out a joint process. So suppose if our process, they need some more things, then we add it. So for every bank, we have to work separately.
Got it, sir. Thank you so much for answering the question.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. As there are no further questions from the participants, this concludes our question and answer session. I would now like to hand the conference back to the management for closing remarks. So, as there are no further questions, I would like to hand the conference back to the management for closing comments.
Thank you. And if you have any more queries or any questions, you can reach out to our investor relations or our CFO's department. Thank you so much. Have a good evening ahead. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, members of the management. On behalf of IIFL Finance Limited, that concludes this conference call. Thank you, everyone, for joining us, and you may now disconnect your line.